Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
We are so delighted to be with you. My name is Almeen, and we're here again today to share another hour with you of question and answers. I've got Rogier Shadeh on the line with me, and he's going to be asking the questions that I will then answer. So, Rogier, where would you like to start?
We actually have a question about a topic which you of androgyny, which you actually discussed, I believe, during the last pod in Newport. So I hope you remember it, but it was really about the way in which sexuality would change considering the sort of the androgynous nature of the infinite now. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. Very good question.
Could you elaborate?
Certainly.
Because I haven't heard you since, and it seems like something fairly fundamental.
Well, you're right, and, you know, the parts that are written about it, the folks will be able to find on the blog, our daily blog, and I believe, let me just see when that should be. That should be around the end of October's entries, because we have them dated and named as well, so look for a new way of sexuality or androgyny, and you'll come up with the entries where I explained quite a bit, and I think that there were some prophecies came out of the Isis records that gave us that. Okay, well, first of all, as we understand, the infinite's nature when we were created in the dream, just for those of you that were not with us on some of the shows that we've done here in recent weeks, the infinite's being, when we were in the dream, which is where creation began. When you're dreaming, it's your right brain that engages in the dream time. It was the infinite expressed as the holy and infinite mother. Right before waking up, your left and right brain is one of the few times that it works in total harmony together during the past. I say during the past because that has changed. But at that time, the mother started to speak about herself, and this started the beginning of September, that she started to speak of herself as the divine hermaphrodite. And a divine hermaphrodite has both masculine and feminine within and can choose which one it is that will be expressing. And then it was at the end of October that we exited the dream and became, the infinite became androgynous. I don't know how dictionaries use these words. I only know it from the way that it has been with the infinite. The infinite that I still call the infinite mother after years of working with the mother is in fact genderless. Androgyny, the masculine and feminine components, are so perfectly melded together that if the being is feminine, the being is not masculine. This is happening to the major way-showers of the planet and rippling out throughout all life. And that is what Rogier is talking about when he says that there is this change that has happened with the infinite and with life, starting with those of you who are listening with me, to me. So the next thing is that then it was said that a new way of sexuality would come about, and that we've had some changes happening with sexuality ongoingly. We had one happen, I think, 2 days ago, in which it was said that part of our frequency of sexuality has been programming that came out of the dream at a time when we were dysfunctional, when we were needy, when we were obsessive, and when we were root chakra driven in many instances. So it said that we had to shed it as our standard, that however frequently or however seldom we choose to have sexual interaction, it simply has to come from the place of fullness and authenticity. So it cannot come from programming of this is how many times I should be feeling aroused per week, etc. So that happened 2 days ago, but the big change that you'll hear is referring to happened in October when we were working with uncovering, well, it's not uncovering, some of this was known, but some of it was new, the Toltec Nagual, very deep mystical information that dealt with sexual magic, which is the Kundalini magic of the spine. And we dealt with it, and as we worked with it, sexual changes were happening in the way procreation takes place and so on in the cosmos. And at the end of it, the infinite told us that the way that this sexual magic that the Toltecs have used over eons of hidden information that we were bringing out, and you find it on wayofthenagual.com, www.wayofthenagual.com. And so that it dealt with the it dealt with the spine Kundalini, which is genderless. See, I've said over the years before that when left brain and right brain work in perfect harmony together, the Kundalini is birth, the sacred fire is birth that makes the trinity of existence. The trinity has become one. So the sexual magic is not just with another person. The sexual magic, for instance, can be with a tree, or a bird, or a flower, or the sky, or a mountain, because it is the melding of essence. Your essence that makes you unique, as you blend with another, as you experience what it is that makes them unique. You are actually coming from your vast identity of a being as large as the cosmos and beyond, having a human experience. Now, the way that sex takes place would be different as well, because orgasm is not a physical orgasm. Orgasm is an ecstatic, blissful orgasm. And it's much, much, much deeper. We had it happen to our beautiful sister here. I don't know if I'm supposed to give her name, so I possibly shouldn't, but it happened to her in the unicorn pod 2 pods ago. And she stood up next to someone and both of them experienced this total and orgasmic union that took place. And it was something that she said is way beyond any physical orgasm that she's experienced. And so there isn't, if you are with a partner, penetration can be done, but in this new way of achieving psychological or spiritual orgasm, there isn't friction. There's just the union. So there would be penetration and union and intermingling of essence, and then it would explode into this incredible, beautiful, spiritual orgasm. So that's what he's talking about.
Okay, so, but, I mean, is this supposed to change effects? I mean, you know, are these changes supposed to take effect straight away, or how does that work?
They are. They are supposed to take place straight away. I mean, do people still choose to have a physical orgasm? That's their choice. But this is available now.
Okay, and is Kundalini magic then? Because I don't think you have accessed that body of information yet, have you?
There's two types of sexual magic that is available to us right now, and one is through the Toltecs. And it's actually, if you look at those bodies of manifestation as the rose, it's the one of the three inner petals. So it's the serpent magic. That's from the Toltecs. Around that you have 7 petals, and those are underwater kingdoms of magic, not myrrh, but the others. Then there is another, and we have this on www.incorruptiblemagic.com and also on some of the ancientshamanism.com. But around that you have 12. Those are plant magics. around that you have 20. Within that row of 20 petals, one of the petals is the Ashanta serpent's magic that is also sexual. They have been giving us 8 wheels through the Oracle Alana of I guess she just moved to California. She's no longer in Ohio. She's in California now, but she's from Uzbekistan, and she has been receiving 8 different wheels. You can find them on our blog that are wheels that are used for sexual magic, but no, I just haven't sat down to write it all out. And what we have started to write out for sure, which is on the website, is the Toltec sexual magic. That is the more androgynous sexual magic, whereas the Ashanta magic actually uses the physical intercourse.
Okay, well, because yeah, I was wondering about that, because you'd think that these types of magic would be kind of in the same vicinity, like in the same ring or something, but the Toltec one is actually right in the middle, or in the middle three.
Exactly. That's
okay, correct. So why is that then? Because it's androgynous?
The hierarchies of the rose's petals, it lies in different formats. If you think of bodies of manifestation as a pyramid instead of a rose, but remember the rose has 9 layers of petals, and the 9 layers of petals can be divided into 3, 3, and 3. If you take the pyramid and you divide it into 3, the body of information that is the lower level of it, the base of the pyramid, deals with revealing the perfection underlying the sub-creation. Then the middle one deals with, it's better for me to speak of it as a pyramid rather than a rose in this instance. The middle layer is the alchemical magic. And really, Balvaspata, which is a phenomenal healing modality. We have people from Russia reporting the most beautiful miracles about it. Our master Jan from Ohio is taking some of that down, so we hope to post it soon. But we've got miracles about that all over the place. It's not just there. Balvaspata is literally part of this body of this healing magic, but it is alchemical. And alchemy is a knowledge of combining certain life-enhancing things in a way that multiplies their life-enhancing effect. The lead plus something makes gold. So that's what that is. And then the upper portion of it has to do with manifestation through relationships, either manifestation through relationships with the self, with the earth, with other planets. Like the astrology of Isis, which will be up in December as a website of 2008, the astrology of Isis deals with your relationship with planetary bodies. The manifestation of source of life, the source of life, deals with the relationship with self, and then the manifestation through the divine architect, creative principles, which has its own website. The other two are lumped together, deals with your relationship with the earth. So those are based with relationships, are on relationships. So things are placed in the rows according to what they're doing, and how they work. I have over the years learned, because I've tried to put some of the dragon's magic into one of my books, and they say, absolutely can't go in that book, no way. We can't be in the same book with, say, the Pegasus magic, or the Giant's magic, or the Mer magic. They have to be put in books combined with the type of way they work and their type of frequencies and so on that they use. It's very important how those are sorted, and I'm not exactly clear on how that is. I'm sure it's pretty complex. But I have the Darklings wanted to give me their magic. The Arcturian fairies wanted to give me their magic, and I have the dragons wanting to give me their magic, and I said, why don't I just make one book? And they were horrified. They each needed their own book because they weren't compatible. So there's a specific hierarchy of purpose, perhaps, not of importance. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Al Mean has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Welcome back to everyone, and we're so happy that you're with us today. Andrew here. Have you got any particular area that you want to lead us into?
Yes, I do. Because we were just speaking about these rings or of the rose or layers, but I also recall you speaking about the magic of the Father, and I know now that I think you mentioned this last week, that the windows into eternity has become available, at least in electronic form.
Yes,
so I was wondering,
so
where does the magic of the Father, I think, which we also refer to as the magic of the firstborn, fit into this?
Now, by this, do you mean which of the books, or do you mean in the rows?
I mean in the rows, but I also just kind of want to hear you out about it.
Okay. The language of the Father that has been used to create the various spells and incantations and so on that are in as part of, now what have we got in Windows into Eternity more than that, but it's in that book and it's electronically available and will be in the beginning of 2009 also available in hard copy book form. Now, the language that you hear there is the language of the Father. It's the language of one of the dream states that were. But it's as valid as any of the other languages that, you know, for instance, if you look at the book Aruba Therina uses fairy languages. Those fairy languages are still in use. If you look at the Mer incantations, the giant incantations, each of them have been taken down in their specific languages. Those languages are not extinct. There is an exception, however, in this case, because this language of the Father has become extinct. Now, what that means for us is that it was part of the dream states that was quite deeply into the dream, and it was used very anciently among the, it started on Arcturus, when the planet was in the Arcturus star system, and you can see about that when you read the history of the cycles in The Gift of the Unicorns. So it was there that it began. And the language has no longer anyone speaking it. But what Mother has done in the dream is that she backed the language with her language. so that even though the language itself is no longer something that anyone speaks much of, it still is so that mother's language backs it. So she makes it valid, in other words. The only two people I know that regularly speak it, actually, Rogier, is you and the Oracle Ifa in Toronto. The Oracle Todd in Toronto speaks it as well. But other than that, I guess I don't know of anybody else that speaks it. I speak it only if I have to. You know, I can speak what language I must because I do mother's work. But did you want to speak it a little bit so folks can at least just hear it? I would put you on the spot.
Yeah, those were the exact words that came to mind. But
It's payback time, sweetie. Payback time. 2 times ago, you had me so on the spot because you asked questions I hadn't even thought of. But you don't have to. I mean, they can certainly just tune in there and take a look.
No, I can do it. But if you just give me just a moment to sort of tune in, but you will.
Yes.
Will you translate it then as well?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Berlikstedt bustra stra akla bakla hudhet nu hud hustru buknut va aklet ba akla urstra hesnehet borik rustrat hornhet buklut maagnan belleke. Alright, that was it.
Okay, it says, say these words as your bread you eat. It multiplies its nourishment as you eat the bread. It says that the same can be done by proxy for others, that as you eat your bread and you say this word, it takes away their hunger. So it's a little magical spell, actually, that you just gave us, which we don't have down anywhere. But it's saying that, A, if you say the words that he just did, and if you're going to write them down by listening to this little bit on the archives over and over, they are exactly as they sound. He rolls his R's, but they are spelt with a lot of vowels. H-A-K-A-N-A, Hakana, Hurat would be, you know, he says Hurat, H-U-R-A-T, like that. Exactly phonetically as it sounds. But if you say those words as you eat your food, it multiplies the nourishment of it to your body. Then if it is your intent that it nourishes the hungry in other places, you can say those words again as you eat with that intent, and nourishment will be provided to more than yourself, but to those who are in need of it. So it's a little magical spell. It would actually be good if we could get that.
Well, I am wondering why. What I've noticed is that usually whenever I speak something in the language, it usually starts with the same words, but I'm never entirely sure what those words mean.
It's the word let it be so. It's the word let it be thus or let it be so.
You mean the first ones I speak?
Yes.
That's right.
You always start with that.
Oh, well, that's good to know, because usually I just don't really know what I'm saying. So.
Well, that's the way oracles start, you know, and some people don't become oracles. Like, it's not your job to become an oracle. An oracle's life is just not their own. They are just, you know, basically the hollow bone that music of the infinite gets played on, and it's a job. It's not specifically that their gifts are one way or the other. Other people just use those gifts as needed. They use it all the time as is needed cosmically. And so being an oracle is not that your gifts are greater, it's just that they're used differently.
Okay.
So, okay, you were asking me about that. Let me just go back to the question again. So back to the question about the Father's magic. The Father's magic was originated when male and female were separate. Then the serpent magic, as they joined together, the serpent magic came forth. It's like the left and right brain, and then the kundalini rises. So the Father's magic was very necessary to bring that balance. Its words are backed by the Mother's words. So at this time, as it speaks, that's which should be. Her words will back it. Let's say somebody speaks it in a long life-enhancing way, which it can be done. Mother's words don't back it. It won't happen. Mother's language cannot be used in a non-life-enhancing way. And so, we actually ran into this in September, where somebody was using the Father's language to try and make things happen in a non-life-enhancing way.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was possible. I mean, I just heard you say it was. But
it wasn't, because Mother withdrew the power from it.
Wait, are you saying she withdrew it, or is she backing it up?
She backs it up only if it pronounces life-enhancing things, like this incorruptible white magic enhances nourishment. That's incorruptible white magic. Her words will back that up. If the Father's language is used for anything that's not life-enhancing, which it can be, then her words don't back it up. This change happened in September because for the first time it was openly used, to do non-life-enhancing things.
Okay,
and so she took the... Sorry?
Well, no, what I was saying is that I didn't know it could have ever have been used in non-life-enhancing way. That's just what I meant.
I didn't either.
Oh, okay, right. Okay, well, then we're on the same page, at least.
We're on the same page. It was uncovered then that it could be. And you know, Rogier, here's why that is so. Let's just look at why that could possibly be. The Father's language was created for a very deep dream state. In that deep dream state, it could not be misused. As we started to join things together, and it was separation-based, because it was created when the threads of the tapestry of existence were separated into duality and polarity as part of the plan. But when we exited that and started joining things together, that language is not a language that came from the source of life. It came from what then was the first creation of the infinite, that Father. The language of the Mother and the languages that came, I've spoken now, four different languages for the language of the Mother. And I can try and remember them if you want me to when we come back from body break here, but... And potty break is just our fun way that we say in our classes, my brothers and sisters, because there's usually too few bathrooms for my students. And so potty break is a scramble for the bathroom. So it's a phrase we coined in our classes. But let me just continue with this. So it became possible to do something with it that wasn't possible before. So in September, the Mother proclaimed that only life-enhancing proclamations through the Father's language, which still is an enormous power, can be used. It became one of those petals of the 20, the Mother and Father's languages. It's part of the magic of the 20 rings of the rose.
Okay, I was actually wondering if, because we have the separation, of course, between the Father as the first creation and the Father as simply the masculine
Of the source of all life, yes.
Yeah, but I was thinking that perhaps the language could be misused because his function, and here I mean the first creation, I think, did it not have a lot to do with destructuring and elimination?
It did, but I wouldn't put that as the primary reason. I mean, certainly there could be something there. But the primary reason was, in the depths of the dream, there wasn't enough masculine. When there isn't enough masculine, it creates hostile perpetrators. We looked at that on our show when we talked about Africa. That where, cruelty and things result when there isn't enough balance between proactivity and receptivity. So what we had is not enough masculine. The mother had to create, take her masculine, and as an example within, even though she was in her deeply feminine stages, and created a first creation from it. It was essential because she needed to have that pulsation happening as an energy supply. In the deep stages of the dream, energy came from the linear movement between polarities. It's now different, but that's what happened. So she needed it for the sake of the energy of the cosmos. But yes, his job was to clear up things and destructure and so on. Hers was to regenerate. But as we started healing all this separation-based polarity, the function of the father as the firstborn creation ceased. And now, all of life was created at once. As we exited the dream, all of life, completely created from scratch, from the beginning, happened all at once. All creations are the firstborn now. So there is an obsoleteness about A, yes, you're right, destructuring, B, that first creation as the father's role altogether. Who is the father now? It's the androgynous being that's both the mother and the father. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back after these messages.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back, and Rohir, we are back on the air again, so what would you like us to do next?
Well, now I think it would be appropriate for you to speak the mother languages. Well, actually, you've done so before, but I meant it more in terms of there being multiple. I think there are four different ones. So
yes, that I've encountered anyway.
So, but are you able to speak all of those at will?
I might have difficulty with the first one. Simply because it's the one that was in the deepest states of the dream where we were created from. Well, actually, we weren't created at the very deep levels. We were created maybe a level in, as far as I know. The deep levels was part of the fall. The mother's language, the first language that was during part of the fall, I can write. But unless I'm required to, I don't know that I can just whip it up at the spur of the moment. It's happening. has been written, and our wonderful oracle Karen Fogarelli recently received information in the mother's very, very ancient language. The other places I've seen it written is on doorways in the Isis palace that's in the central India. It's a hidden palace in central India, and then there's a smaller one in the northern part of Nepal. But the one in central India has a big door with this old, old language written on it, mother's original language that she spoke to cluster awareness into form. Can you believe that? It's the language that created us to begin with. I can try and speak it, but let me start with the brand new one. And perhaps you know what we should do here is to tell them why languages change. It might be self-evident, but here's what happens. In the book, The Gift of the Unicorns, you read about the fact that mother's one language, the ancient language in which a song was, we have it as a song to the darklings to return, a promise to them to return, and asking them to become the history keepers of the cosmos. And the darklings preserved that song of the mother with infinite care. It's in her old language. That's the language that happened during the deeper and deeper going into the sleep part of existence. At the very deepest moments of sleep that you could really compare to a coma, the mother changed her language. And it says that the perpetrators, you know, you can imagine they were abounding. There were many of them because of the depth of darkness and forgetfulness. They didn't know what was happening, but a new sound was heard. Suddenly, mother spoke a different language. Because she did, tones were put into place in the cosmos. And those tones, that as she spoke them, started to turn us around into the massive ascension that had us awaken out of these four deep stages of sleep. So her language will change the direction that life went to, as we can see. But her language also, like, there was this brand new language that has come about since we exited the dream, since life has been recreated, that mother is speaking. The mostly what I speak still is the language before that, is that was the last stages of the dream, and then there was one for the ascension cycles. So for the ascension cycles, as we were waking up, that happened. Then the last stages of the dream, there was a new language, and now we have a new one. Let me start with the newest one, because it's hardest for me to get just right off the bat of the three, not counting the one of the falling asleep, which all of these languages are valid. Whatever is said in them will happen. So let me just see the brand new one. Perez, and see now it has a Z in it, Perez with a Z. We've not had a Z or Z, as they call it in England. We've not had that in any of mother's languages before. Perez eklet hernet barakurut nafasa blabluk bravek peret natvi seret ustravat pil aklat min hurstatvi bars kratna huret barak ustut vir ukla harat va mispet estret u huklenez rat aras bahur setne verestat. I've been speaking it for days now, so it seems to me that the mother did not fully awaken till about a few days ago, but I've been speaking it for some days. Whenever she tells me to communicate anything of hers, then it's in that language, and I've been speaking it as well. Kinukatra erech betek enes baush haras min hurklatnet sebavu tikli harash utnat eklet veres barut nasta. So now let's go to the one before that. It has no R's, it has no Z's, no W's. And by the way, I have not yet encountered a W in any of mother's languages. there might have been in that first language. I don't know it well enough to tell you that. But the last three, there has not been a W. So let's just see here. This one I'm fluent in. It's easy for me to speak. But there's multiple letters that are not in there, like a P. There's a TF, TF, or PF, but there isn't a P. There are a couple of other letters missing. I don't know off the top of my hand what they, off the top of my head what they are. But let me just speak the language. It speaks of what an awakening there is amongst the indigenous peoples of the world this day. And it speaks of the awakening of the weather patterns to know that they may once again reign in desert areas, and that soil shall be repaired, and that the plants have already been replaced from the Amazon into desert areas. They just await a few more steps before they can blossom and bloom. So let me go to the language that's before that. Mirik parish kla urek nevestech na baurut. Pilik le erek ra us na tra. Berish krach na vosututu na ma ekich na vasat. Bel klash rak utretne. Bar uruknu urush techne ve estra. Ulech etre izech ma unut. Vilbar arak nasuch. Berish uras trava minek. Pilklat rut na savarch kaba. Hureshtra urek basta. Min hushklet. The language that I spoke is saying that before this language began, mother's former language, there was a gap, which I didn't know before. It's saying there was a gap between language number one, which created creation, and when language number two happened. And then, of course, we've just spoken language number three and the most recent one, language number four. It is saying that in that time, there was only a masculine, mostly consonant-based language. And, oh, my goodness, do I know that one. I encountered that language. It was a very big hardship for me to write. When Mother called me in February of 2005 and told me that I had to gather the major wage showers throughout the years to come. They were in the dream her first creations, her firstborn, she called them, the pillars of her temple. So in that time, I had to write languages of angel names. It started with just a few, and then it grew and grew and grew until eventually it was thousands of them. But during the first wave of it, perhaps the month of February through May, maybe a little longer, maybe June, I encountered languages throughout the cosmos as Mother sent me back and forth between the realms that were, and the angels themselves had those names. And it was, oh my gosh, it's going to be hard to speak this because I actually never had to, but I can see it written because I had to write it. Those were the male perpetrators' languages, but the whole earth spoke them. And it's, you know, it's very, very many eons of existence ago. Everybody on earth spoke them. The angels spoke them because it was the dominant frequency throughout the cosmos. you know, Mother has placed in the laws of existence that no language anywhere spoken can in any way create discordance, so I don't feel any hesitation about speaking it, but that's what it was, and it mostly had consonants with very few vowels. Let's take a break and we'll be back. Oh, sorry. Can you hold that thought?
Just to be clear, what language was that you just spoke?
That was the perpetrator god's language. There were multiple gods that were separation-based and mirroring illusion, and they basically controlled the cosmos when Mother went into her deepest forgetful dreams. And, you know, that is in the unicorn book, The Gift of the Unicorn, but that language was the cosmic language by the perpetrators. And what I just heard, you know, through this, the mother's language that came through my mouth before, is that there was a time she forgot her original language during the first stages of the fall, and during the latter stages of the fall, only the perpetrator god's separation-based languages were spoken. And
wow.
It's when she remembered the second language that the whole thing turned around and ascension slowly began. Interesting, huh? Okay, well, we'll quickly go on a break and be right back.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
We're back with you again, and my brothers and sisters of light, thank you so much for joining us. It means a great deal to me. I carefully study our numbers ever so often and make sure that we're on the right track and providing you with levels of information that you can internalize and comprehend. And you know, many of the masters in my classes that have been with us for years, they play these over and over and over because they say each time they listen, they hear another layer of information. So here we've got approximately 10 minutes left. Are there any more questions that you wanted to tackle?
Just a few about these languages, because it strikes me as slightly odd that Mother's languages that were designed for the dream, that they would still be, well, working. I mean, I guess maybe if she does some kind of conversion with those as well, but isn't that strange that dream languages would still take effect?
Well, I don't have a clue, so let's ask her. Ishkaich techneska pashkie vese inuvi hashbava kiukuyenech keata ishkuye sever kiama unshbaba. Mother is saying that her dream body is that which has had no beginning and shall have no end. And although now that she is awake, the dream body has merged as one with the dreamer that used to be. In other words, the one that used to be the one asleep, and then the dream body entered into the dream. Mother is saying that although they have merged into one, the dream body is not something that was created. It is something that was eternal, an eternal part of the infinite. Where the first splitting happened is when the mother entered into its dream. And so what is the case is that all those languages created by the mother originated from a being with no beginning and no end. That makes them valid in that what is spoken in them will occur.
Okay, now this kind of reminds me, didn't you say the other day, not on the radio, but weren't you concerned that there was something which could pull us back into the dream?
Yes, there was. And we've written a bit about this. I'm not sure where we wrote it. I think it's mostly on that audio clip. Is that where it is?
Well, yes, but I think it was actually after.
We wrote a bit about it in Glyphs that came from Lords of Light. There's a whole kingdom that's very seldom mentioned, and they're the Lords of Light. They're both masculine and feminine, but they mostly appear as big spheres of light, or they can be in form. They have recently decided to take form as in the last year, but the Lords of Light gave me Glyphs, and when I translated, it was a warning that there were things that could pull us into the dream. And so that's when we recorded Mother's conversation with me, and that went onto the blog. This was yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm. Well,
by the time this the air date for this recording that we're making, we pre-record our information, my brothers and sisters. And if you follow us on Twitter, that's the place where we tell you when we do these pre-records. So if you want to tune in, for instance, we have students right now listening to this information because they get it immediately as it happens. But if you want to do that, just watch our Twitter. We have our blog, of course, as well, but that's not the place where we give that information. What happened is the infinite in its beingness had learnt a new skill. It's a skill, now I will tell you that if you ask me again in 2-3 months, I'm going to tell you a higher level of this information. Because for the moment, this is the highest truth, but there is something to come that will change our perception of this. However, the infinite learned how to focus. When it focused on a small portion of its being, a portion of its awareness or mind or consciousness, because mind is not an accurate word here, but think of it as contracted. And it contracted densely enough that for the first time, the rest of the being's light couldn't shine through because such a vastness, a portion of it, contracted into one. Think of it as layers and layers of phyllo pastry, or you have layers of papers on top of each other, but the one paper is wrinkled into a ball. It wrinkles into a ball, the other papers can no longer function with it the way they used to. And there was a question asked by the mother, by the infinite, is this life enhancing? In conceptualizing that anything within its being could possibly be hostile to life, to its own life. The infant lost its innocence. And in that moment, it fractured the way one would in a coma. And the dream was born. This is actually how the dream came about. And so it was yesterday's work, which you can see on the blog and, you know, so forth. It was yesterday's work to uncover exactly how this happened, so the infinite put into the laws of existence that it knows at all times that no portion of it could ever be non-life enhancing to itself. To do that, changes were made vis-a-vis its relationship to its creations as well, but that's on the, I think it's on the sound piece that you did, Rohir.
Okay, but is this kind of like a rephrasing or a specified version of what initially seemed to be the first question or the first thought, which was, is there something I do not know?
Yes, that was something that happened inside the dream. And that's what caused one dream state, which was more shallow, to go into a deeper dream state. So it is a very similar situation. That was rectified, that was fixed into the laws of existence in the dream itself. Those laws of existence have come out of that dream with us because they've helped us shape life.
Okay, so where was this question regarding being life-enhancing, where was that asked then?
The infinite asked it to itself before the dream began.
Okay, that was before the dream.
Which caused the separation of the dream body because it fractured inside. Because a thought was born. When thought is there, innocence cannot be there. So it fractured, and that's what separated out the dream body, and the dream body became actually contained within this portion of awareness. Think of it as a shiny ball. And it contracted and captured within it a portion of the infinite's being, the way a balloon would have some air inside itself. The air is also outside itself. But it is shiny. So the air inside was trapped in mirrors. And inside this portion of the infinite that contracted into a sphere, what it captured within it saw only itself on mirrors. This was a huge, huge piece that had to be uncovered. Because it looks like you go on for eternity, you know, and things, patterns kept repeating itself. And so that had to be sorted out. And now it's possible for the infinite to focus while remembering that it isn't the focus, and still seeing all perspectives at once.
Okay,
so yet again, a new skill is born.
Okay, so it would seem then that that's interesting, that actually every level deeper into descension was catapulted by a thought or a question.
Yes, and then within those dream states themselves, there were multiple levels.
Okay, but they all...
So, you know,
but I was just meant to say, to point out that how thought was instrumental in creating that.
It was vital. And thought cannot be separated from feeling. And when it contracted, thought became separated from feeling. We unfortunately, this is such a nice, wonderful, deep topic, my brothers and sisters, but here's what we'll do. I'll do the very best to write as much of this as I can onto our blogs, and we'll have to unfortunately just take our leave today, but we'll be back with you next week. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Rohir.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.